Good morning, everybody. During this week, three events took place which have reflected our concerns and work over a number of weeks. So there were three outstanding events. The first one was Connor's baptism last Sunday, you recall. And the second one was on Friday. That was a blessing on David and Robin's partnership, which happened on Friday, that partnership blessing. And that came as a surprise to Robin, though not to David. And then on Saturday, Jacob Barley was ordained. So these are events which have been long in preparation and all took place in this last week. On the fourth, in the next week, Kyo Nam Cho is going to be in court on immigration as he tries to establish his status to remain in the UK. And so your thoughts and prayers for that will be very welcome. And lastly, there was a very successful coffee morning to raise funds for Macmillan yesterday morning. And you have still an opportunity to take part, because there are some cakes left over which were for sale, and they will be in the mail hall. And so do take the opportunity to support Macmillan by buying those cakes later this morning. Thank you.
Every year, Link to Hope takes thousands upon thousands of shoeboxes filled with gifts to some of the most impoverished communities in Eastern Europe. Every single one of these boxes tells its own unique story. A story that might begin with a family somewhere in the UK packing a shoebox with everyday items, and ends as a message of love and hope to a family or elderly person in a poor village in Romania, Bulgaria, Moldova, or Ukraine. Some of these shoebox stories have led to opportunities to start and develop education and social care projects in these poor communities where there is such acute need. Sometimes a shoebox can reveal the most desperate need. Volunteers delivering shoeboxes in a village in Moldova found Maria, a 74-year-old woman, sleeping on the dirt floor of her freezing home. Seeing her need, Link to Hope were able to buy her a bed, blankets and pillows, which they delivered to her house. On another day, a shoebox was delivered to a family grieving for their baby, who had just died due to the cold and their inability to heat the one room they lived in. This family has now been rehoused by funds raised by Link to Hope supporters in a purpose-built container home. These stories and the people they affect simply wouldn't have been known about without shoeboxes. The power of a shoebox can change lives. So this year, when you pack a shoebox with small and precious gifts, remember that it will become yet another story of love and hope sent from far away, and that it could help change the lives of those in desperate need.
We join together to worship God. Praise the Lord. Let all that we are praise the Lord. We will praise the Lord as long as we live. We will sing praises to our God with our dying breaths. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Praise the Lord. We join to sing, "Now Thank We All Our God." We say together the psalm. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise God as long as I live. I will sing to my God all my life. Don't put your trust in human leaders. No human being can save you. When they die, they return to the dust. On that day, all their plans come to an end. Blessed are those who have the God of Jacob to help them and who depend on the Lord their God, the creator of heaven, earth, and sea, and all that is in them. God always keeps God's promises. God judges in favor of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. and gives sight to the blind. God lifts those who have fallen. God loves his righteous people. God protects the stranger who live in our land. God helps widows and orphans, but takes the wicked to their ruin. The Lord is King forever. Your God, O Zion, will reign for all time. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. We join to pray. Let us pray. We come to you now, together, to illuminate the dark corners of our thinking, to let your light, O God, shine into the darkness of this world. We lay down our privileges and approach you, O Lord, in humility. Who we are and what we are in this world doesn't matter as we come before your throne. For you, O God, see our pretensions, and with you we are stripped bare as your beloved children. You see through our folly and our pride, and we come to worship as a community of equals, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the good things in our lives. Forgive us that so many of them we take for granted. We thank you for our homes, for food on our tables, and money to spare for life's pleasures, for health benefits, for being warm and well fed, surrounded with things to enjoy. For these we thank you. And we ask that you would help us to change the lens through which we look at them, and to remember that these are gifts, and there are many who do not have them. Forgive our blindness, Lord our God. Forgive the narrowness of our vision. And the Lord says that our sins are forgiven, and also says, follow me. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
You're all getting excited, aren't you? So this is an introduction to the theme for today. And Jesus told a simple story to get everyone who was listening thinking. He told a story about a rich man. Can I have a rich person to the front, please? The rich person had everything they wanted. They had gold, silver, jewelry, fabulous clothing, and they had sumptuous food and great wines from the Middle East. And there was a poor man. And the poor man had nothing. The poor man was also ill. And the poor man every day lay down outside the rich man's house at the gates, hoping to feed off and get something in return from the rich man. But the rich man, although he saw the poor person, didn't do anything. Then they both died. And the angels came along. Can I have an angel? An angel? The angel came along to carry Lazarus to heaven. But the rich man, his soul was cast away. And the rich man called out to heaven, "Wait, wait, listen to me." And the rich man said, "Help me, help me." But the answer came back, "You had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. You made your choice, and it can't be changed now." The rich man called out again, "I've got brothers, and they need to be warned." But the answer came back, the Bible warns you. It tells you what you must do. They just need to read it."
And in all that complexity, Father, I place into your hands, we join to sing. And I would like to say to you that if you want a bit of the scriptures that will help you understand issues from a biblical perspective in contemporary society, the place you should go is the book of the prophet Amos and have a bit of a read. I think many people would be surprised. Amos makes us aware once again of God's absolute priority for the well-being of the whole of community, the poor and the vulnerable, as much as those who are wealthy and able. Finlay will read this passage to us.
I shall be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, so it may not quite coincide with what you have got in your pew Bibles. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria, the notables of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel resorts. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away.
It could well be that 1 Timothy is not written by the Apostle Paul. Probably pretty likely that it wasn't. But there are two quotes from this text that are proverbial. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and we brought nothing into the world so we can take nothing out of it. And for the reasons of that truth, if for none other, that's why it is in the scriptures. Barbara Fielding will read this passage to us.
The reading is from 1 Timothy, starting to read at verse 6. Well, religion does make a person very rich if he is satisfied with what he has. What did we bring into the world? Nothing. What can we take out of the world? Nothing. So then, if we have food and clothes, that should be enough for us. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and are caught in the trap of many foolish and harmful desires, which pull them down to ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a source of all kinds of evil. Some have been so eager to have it that they have wandered away from the faith and have broken their hearts with many sorrows. But you, man of God, avoid all these things. Strive for righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Run your best in the race of faith and win eternal life for yourself. For it was to this life that God called you when you firmly professed your faith before many witnesses. Before God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who firmly professed his faith before Pontius Pilate, I command you to obey your orders and keep them faithfully unto the day when our Lord Jesus Christ will appear. His appearing will be brought about at the right time by God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He alone is immortal. He lives in the light that no one can approach. No one has ever seen him. No one can ever see him. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Amen.
Command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be too proud, but to place their hope not in such an uncertain thing as riches, but in God, who generously gives us everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share with others. In this way, they will store up for themselves a treasure which will be a solid foundation for the future, and then they will be able to win the life, which is the true life. Amen.
And you're all thinking, blimey, Charlie, what's the gospel that goes with that? Another complicated reading. To deny alms to someone who you are in relationship with was and is a denial of community. And maybe that is the rich man in this story, his greatest sin. Jean Thompson will read this passage to us.
The Rich Man and Lazarus. There was once a rich man who dressed in the most expensive clothes and lived in great luxury every day. There was also a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who used to be brought to the rich man's door, hoping to eat the bits of food that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the feast in heaven. The rich man died and was buried. And in Hades, where he was in great pain, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called out, "Father Abraham, take pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue, because I am in great pain in this fire." But Abraham said, "Remember, my son, that in your lifetime you were given all the good things, while Lazarus got all the bad things. But now he is enjoying himself here, while you are in pain. Besides all that, there is a deep pit lying between us, so that those who want to cross over from here to you cannot do so, nor can anyone cross over to us from where you are." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him go and warn them, so that they at least will not come to this place of pain." Abraham said, "Your brothers have Moses and the prophets to warn them. Your brothers should listen to what they say." The rich man answered, "That is not enough, Father Abraham. But if someone were to rise from death and go to them, then they would turn from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone were to rise from death." Amen.
Amen. Strangely, if I say to you, a man was travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell in among robbers, you would not think that once upon a time we could have got the names and the addresses of those robbers and gone round and sought things out. Because we know that the story of the Good Samaritan is a parable. But somehow, when it comes to this reading, we forget all about what we know about how you read and listen to a parable, and we take this to be literal, very uncomfortable, but literal teaching and truth. But this is a parable too. So what does that mean? It means it's a story that you are to think about, chew over. What I'm going to say about it, you might think, well, yeah, I get that from the story, but I think also there's this element. And parables are the most respectful way of teaching, because it says, here it is, now work on it. So this is picture language in which Jesus is talking, and it has got something to do with the ministry of Jesus. What? All three of these readings are about dodgy priorities and the abuse of money. Money is dangerous stuff. Doesn't make it bad stuff, just means that it's like dynamite. It can literally blow up in your face. It can literally destroy you. How you use it says a lot about the actual priorities that you really have. So, this afternoon, not much on the telly, you've already watched Strictly, don't want to watch it again. You make a list of all the ways that you actually spend your money. And it might be interesting. What does it say? Get more clothes? Do you really need more clothes? Do you need more food? Do you need more drink? Do you need to take up the quality a notch or two? Do you need to do that? Do you need to buy presents from people that they don't really need and they don't really want? When it comes to judgment, money and how we use it will be part of the mixture. Money easily becomes the central focus of our lives and quickly becomes the golden calf. And God gets nudged into the long grass. And that happens to individuals. And let's be clear, it happens to churches too. So to the gospel story. The story is often called the story of Dives and Lazarus. Dives is Latin for rich. And Lazarus means God is my help. But notice a subtle thing in this story. As Jesus tells the story, the poor man has a name, but the rich man does not. This story is sometimes portrayed as a story about heaven and hell. Dives in the fiery furnace and Lazarus is in heaven. And that's not what the scripture says. It's about Hades, and it's about the fact that they're both in the same place, though there is a massive gulf between them and they can see one another. But even in Hades, the rich man continues with his entitled narrative. He calls Abraham, Father Abraham. Still, me and you, Abraham, we're like this. And he also instructs Abraham to instruct Lazarus to do something that would suit him. Tell him to bring me some water. Tell him to go and speak to my brothers. The story is actually an ancient folk tale. But the telling of it in this story has a twist. In the folk tale, usually Lazarus comes from Hades and goes and speaks to the brothers. In this story, that is refused because of the narrative about resurrection. The rich man indulged in feasting every day. Nothing wrong with feasting. A lot wrong with feasting every day. It's wrong for your body, and it's also wrong in terms of the use of your time, and it's also wrong in terms of use of your resources. The rich man is a figure of idle self-indulgence. So at those times there was no knives and forks, you ate with your fingers, and then when you came to the end of the meal, you cleaned your fingers by using bread. And Lazarus is waiting for this bread that will be thrown, and he's waiting for those scraps. And the rich man thought it was perfectly natural that Lazarus would lie around in pain waiting for scraps to be thrown. Like the many terrible things that we are blind to. Lazarus is a picture of abject poverty. The rich man is the picture of opulent wealth. It's not that the rich man is particularly cruel to Lazarus. He doesn't even notice him. His sin is not that he does the wrong thing. His sin is that he did nothing. Martin Luther King. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. So Abraham says to the rich man, "You have had the warnings from the prophets." The prophets ceaselessly spoke about the exploitation of the poor by the rich, as in that Amos reading. That's the sort of picture reading that he's pointing him to. The understanding of the children of Israel is that exactly that, that they are linked, they are united with one another. As we are linked, as we are together, all of us on this tiny planet. As we would say, as we are all linked as children of a one loving God. So the prophet Amos condemns the idle rich for their easy living, their heavy drinking at the nation's expense. And makes it clear that they have a false sense of security, because they have an understanding that all these possessions are a sign that God loves them and life is just going to continue on this idle, peachy road. And they are wrong. Because soon they will be taken into exile and their sense of their wealth has given them a false set of values. They lie on couches that are made of ivory, and when it comes to drinking, they don't even pause to pour it. They drink it straight from the bowl. Like in our parlance, it would be they drink it straight from the bottle. They have no sense that their wealth gives them responsibilities and folks to be cared for and issues to be concerned about the fact that they are among the powerful in the city. Remember, if you're getting a bit anxious, it's not about the money itself. It's about the responsibility that comes with it. It's about how you use it. And it's also about the imbalance between the rich and the poor. In the United States in 1965, chief executive officers made 20 times more than the average production worker. In 2016, the gap was 271 times more. And the gap is getting larger. And the bit of the jigsaw that has lost is that for life to be good for the rich, the poor need to be not that much further behind them. Otherwise, they have to spend tremendous amounts of energy into protecting themselves, both physically and psychologically. If I shut my eyes to the poorest, that does not mean that they go away. It's not about money. It's about how we view it, and it's about how we use it, because it comes with responsibility. So in Timothy, teaching from Paul, in inverted commas, speaks about contentment. Where does your security come from? Because if it comes from the stuff that you have, remember, one day that will all be gone. Now, there are those who believe that if you've got loads of money, it's a sign that God loves you, it's a sign that God blesses you. Like those drinking that wine on those ivory couches. There are people in churches who, you know, that's the line that they pump. The more money you've got, the better God loves you. Marvelous. And how does that sit with this notion that money is dangerous, son? Simply, you can use the money that you have and give it to good causes. You can spend it well. You can give it away. But it comes with responsibility, as the rich man in the gospel story failed to understand and failed to fulfill. And all that Jesus is doing as he tells this parable is reminding the people of teaching that they already knew from people like the prophet Amos. And what's Jesus' contribution to all of this? Is that he brings it to a completion. Let us pray. Not high and mighty, Lord. Not rich. Doesn't occur to me to think of myself as privileged. In fact, we moan. And when we do that, it's because we've stopped looking. We become mired in self-interest and see only our own little world. Help us to look beyond the bubble, Lord. Burst the bubble. Open our eyes. Make us aware. And from awareness, awake action and remind us we cannot do everything, but we can do something, and we can use well the resources that we have. Thank you. Amen. So we're going to sing a hymn which is called Am I My Brother's Keeper? And Margaret, this hymn always makes me think of your David. I don't know why, but it does. So we join to sing. Join to pray. Let us pray. Into your hands, Lord our God, we place the victims of the ways of our world. The poorest, those who are in war-torn nations, and those who struggle to make ends meet. In the UK, we pray for guidance. For us with our riches. How shall we live with our houses, our food, our bursting cupboards? We pray for those who are new to wealth, who've won something or inherited something and it has changed. Pray for those for whom their work has been their biggest driver, and now they're retired, or the company has failed, or their skills are not needed, and suddenly everything is different. For those who've put relationships second to the acquisition of possessions. And for those who are coming to the end of their lives, surrounded by things, discovering that actually they cannot take them with them. And so much of what they have treasured is going to end up in a charity shop and a skip. We pray for those who are on the edges in our society, those that we do not see. Yes, street homeless people that we walk past, but also those who are in their comfortable homes and socially isolated and incredibly lonely. We pray for our politicians that our priorities should be beyond the immediate, into what builds relationships, one with another, and responsibility for those who need our help. And we pray for Edward Davey, and we pray for Liz Green, who leads the council. And we pray for those in our social circle who are on the edge, whose problems burden us. We're sick of hearing about it. And we pray for ourselves, for your light and your guidance, Lord our God, for your courage and your subtlety to know how to use our skills and the resources that you have given to us. We place these, our concerns, spoken and from the silence, we place them in your hands. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Eternal God, we come with these gifts and the gifts that we offer in other ways, and we offer the praise of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn, All My Hope on God Is Founded, we join to sing. So let us go from this place with our eyes and our hearts open to the needs of the world. And as we are blessed with belonging, so may we enfold others in God's community of care. And all God's people said, Amen.